You are celebrating what you have because you are a believer in Christ Jesus. It's part of worship. Listen to me. Let me give you this as a clear instruction that we understand. It's one of the things God expects you to do every day. Are you getting my point? Listen, when you declare boldly, I remember once a lady startled me. Well, she thought she scared me when they meet her. And I remember very well. He said, "Oh, did I scare you?" And I remember the way I answered her. Well, in a meeting in Luth, then, one of my colleagues, I said, "Scare me? Nothing. Nothing is big enough to scare me." And she said, "Oh, amen." She just got the point. Because greater is it. I said, "Look, she was campaigning for a post." She said, "Because greater is it that's in you than he that's in the world." I said, "For that, I give you my vote. I don't care any other thing you say today. I'm voting for you." What am I saying? When you declare boldly in life, it's part of worship. That's what, you know, even Jesus said it. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before God. It's part of worship. When men say, "Hey, this country is hard," he said, "Those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. God is on my side. No matter how hard the country is, it becomes source for my sake." Men will call you proud. They will call you stupid. I've had somebody tell me to my face that I'm sorry for you. And I became sorry for her instantly. Because as a matter of fact, it will never happen. There's a prayer Jesus prayed, spoken prophetically through David. And God has answered that prayer. He said, "Let me not be ashamed, and let not my enemies triumph over me." I told you before, triumph does not mean to win. It means to rejoice having defeated somebody. He said, "Let them not rejoice because I failed." That's what he was saying. Jesus prayed that prayer. It was spoken prophetically by David, and God has answered that prayer. And everything that Jesus acquired through his life and his death and resurrection was so that I could take advantage of those things. Therefore, nobody, I can't, listen, let me say to you clearly, it is not possible that I will be declaring my faith and you will look me in the face and say, "I'm sorry for you," that you will not have problems. Better go and repent too. You had better go back. If God in his mercies, are you getting my point, shows you mercy and leads you into a path of repentance so that you too will become more faith. Without that, you're in trouble. What's the point I'm explaining? I'm explaining the point that to boldly, all right, declare the counsel of God about your life, all right, is part of what? Worship. Listen, worship is not only when you come to church and you wave hands. That's one part of it. But everything that you do in life as a believer is what? Worship. Part of worship is to sing songs of praise and magnify the Lord. That's part of worship. Part of worship, very important, I need to explain this, is thanksgiving. Listen, let me just say this clearly. What we do in church, you know, in church we say it's praise and worship. All right? I don't mean to be critical, I'm just trying to explain something. What we actually do, this is where I like to say it. We do three things in church. We do praise, thanksgiving, and triumphing. Do you get my point? Whichever one we want to do at any particular point in time. What we actually do are those three things. We are praising God. Praise, what does it mean? It just simply means that you are magnifying God with words. You are telling of his wonderful works. You are speaking of his greatness. Thanksgiving is obvious what it is. You are thanking him for what he has done for you. And I've already described what it means to triumph, to rejoice. And in fact, the commandment, Paul said like this, rejoice. Oh, this is so important. Again, I say, rejoice. That's the way Paul said it. Listen to me. I'm outlining these things, which I call worship, all right? And it's not, listen, any believer that's actively involved in these acts of worship, which is what I described as offering up of spiritual sacrifices, maybe not today now, maybe another time, because we don't have the time. I'll go into these things in further detail. Take three or four days to talk about the worship of God. Do you get my point? The title, actually, I have something I was developing on it. I call it the acceptable sacrifices. As you are offering up acceptable sacrifices, all right, there's no believer that will do that constantly that his life will not experience the blessing of God. I was going to emphasize one, which I call what? Thanksgiving. That one is very vital. Let me explain it. Thanksgiving. Let me say this quickly before I explain what Thanksgiving is. Now, I was saying something earlier that when we go to church, we do what? We do what is an introduction to worship. I like to say that. There's a reason. Let me quickly explain something. We've heard of the temptations of Jesus Christ. Remember them. He was in the wilderness, turned these stones to bread, jumped down and show off, and God will take care of you, and then bow down and worship me, and I'll give you everything. Those three things, all right? Now, I said something before, that the way we look at it is as if those were the three times Jesus was tempted, and that's all. But actually, in fact, if you see it through his life afterwards, you see he was constantly being tempted. Bow down and worship me. Jump down and then angels will hold you up. Go and see, several times they came to make him king. That was still the temptation. The fact that people came to make him king, that was temptation. I'm bringing an issue. What you find recorded as his experience in the wilderness, those things were the summary, all right, of his life before then. I don't know whether I get a point. Those things were recorded so that we will understand what we, all of us, will have to go through all the time. And now, there's a reason why I brought that one up. When we go to church, all right, how many times do we attend church in a week? What we call a worship service. Once a week, usually, most of us. And most worship services last for like 2 to 3 hours max in most churches. In that, we do thanksgiving. In that, we do praise. We do rejoicing. We do everything. And we hear a word. That's not the whole of life. I like the way my pastor will say it here. That I'm sorry for those who only have appointment with God on Sunday. Now, I want to modify what he said with my own words. Your appointment with God should be every time. Not a day, not a period, not an hour. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's every time. Now I want to talk about thanksgiving. I said something, I will discuss that again during our How to Work for God seminar. I said that what most people do, all right, is they behave properly in church. I hope you have what I'm saying. We are thankful in church. We prophesy correctly on Sunday. But hear me, most people, all right, annul all their thanksgivings and prophecies on Monday. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they think that the service of God is just those few hours. Not knowing that, you know, you've been to church. A lot of pastors do this. Even if I have to, maybe in the church, I go to preach somewhere, I still do it once in a while as it comes upon me. If you are alive today, you are happy, wave your hands and begin to give the Lord thanks. If you are skeptic the whole week and you are grateful, wave your hands and give him thanks. And as somebody is in front there and is leading you on, and you are just thanking God, oh, Father, I thank you. The car didn't kill you. Oh, you are so excited. And after you come home for church, you get to work on Monday. Have they paid salaries? No. This boss is useless. This country is finished. This company is dead. I don't know why I took work here in the first place. What was I thinking that day? Oh, hey, God. One day God will deliver us from here. This suffering cannot continue. God, what did we do? What did we do? Then the next client that comes to the office that day, you look at the man. What can I do for you? You treat the man so bad he leaves the place. I remember one day, this really happened, what I want to tell you. I was a resident doctor in Lutz, and then Lutz ran a very good laundry system. You come periodically, drop your coat, they wash it for you, starch it, and when they bring it out, and nice, they take a small amount of money from your salary every month. Those days, maybe like something like 20 naira to do this work for you as often as you want it. Just your clinical coat, you want to bring your agbada from your hometown and come and give to them. Just your coat, you know, your name is inscribed on it. You just come, you collect it. So that day, my coat had been there for a while. I came to collect my coat. And the man in the laundry department, he was frowning badly because his friend just told him about his salary that had not been paid or one allowance that they had not yet released. So I was there waiting for them to release my coat. And they were talking. After a while, I was like, okay, excuse me, sir. I'm waiting, please. This is my name. Okay, each coat has a number. So I gave him the number of my coat. that you should please check and give me my coat. He grudgingly checked. Finally, he pulled out one and gave it to me. So I said, there are two of them. I dropped both of them. The man said, I should take that one and go. I explained to him, I said, please, sir. I mean, I don't want to be coming and going. I'm here right now. All you need to do, just continue in that stack. The numbers are displayed rather prominently. The way they are inscribed, you easily see it. So I now said something, I remember the word. I said, sir, what problem would it be for you to just continue looking? He said, it's a problem. It's a I remember, the man said, it's a problem. I'm very sorry, I collected my coat. Just. All the Thanksgiving on Sunday, that's where we waste most of it. Listen to me. Oh, you know, people say about sacrifices, that sacrifices are things you do when you don't feel like, all right? Now, that's not what the sacrifice is. That's an English word, all right? But it's also good to use it to illustrate something, all right? Now, what's a sacrifice? A sacrifice is something that is commanded. A sacrifice is something that is demanded of you. Are you getting my point? Now, whether you feel like it is now besides the point. But it's a matter of fact that sometimes you have to offer your sacrifices when you don't feel like it. And Thanksgiving is one of them. Rejoicing is one of them. I'm not saying it's always easy. There are times you just have to deliberately make up your mind. You know, I've been saying this thing again and again. Why we do things is what the Bible calls the renewing of the mind. Why a believer does things, all right, is different from why the world does it. I rejoice because I feel good. That's correct. I rejoice, and this is the most important one for believers. You rejoice because you discover something in the word of God. It says, I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great treasure. That's what David said. And last of all, why do I rejoice? Simply because it is commanded. Rejoice. Paul said, it's so important I need to say it again. Therefore he said, again I say, rejoice. It's easy to go to church and forget all your troubles when the choir is jamming hot music and you dance. And you get back to your house later in the day or the following day, the rest of the week. Let me say this to you again. Those are the times that God commands. I told you, I was saying it earlier. God doesn't come to church. You know, we think that's where he comes to mark a register. No, believe me, he doesn't. I don't want to explain that. God doesn't really go to church to mark a register. I would love to tell you he does because I'm a preacher. I would like you to come to church regularly. Unfortunately, he doesn't. He doesn't do that. He doesn't. You know why he doesn't? Because he understands that when an anointed man is standing in front, you will do anything. You will. You will. I used to tell young women, if a pastor is chasing you, don't go to his church. Sounds funny, right? It's not, and not because it's bad, though. Because you won't know how he is without the anointing. If the only time you see the man is as he's manifesting the grace of God, you will misinterpret his anointing to mean he's a nice guy. You will misinterpret the anointing to mean he's rich. You will misinterpret the anointing to mean that everything is okay. So try and see the man when he's not preaching. Then you will know whether he's a real man. Because, listen, even donkey, sometimes power falls on it and it begins to declare. And Balaam is blessed. By the ministration of the donkey. What am I going to explain? That's why even God understands that. That when you come to church, that's why I say, look, I won't digress for more than a few seconds. That's why I say, if somebody needs to wind you to get money out of your pocket, listen, there's very little blessing for that one. Very little. All those commitments you make under anointed pressure. Hear it. Very little blessing. Very, very little. Very little. The one you go home and think about, and in the midst of your sufferings, you deliberately by yourself make up your mind to do something for the love of God. That's the one that has blessing. Are you getting my point? Thanksgiving also is the same thing. That's what I'm going to explain. That's why God doesn't go there to go and take roll call. He waits in the office on Monday. He's waiting. Number one, when are you going to get there? If you get there late, he's wondering. And then when the work starts,
they never pay in this place. What is wrong? Somebody will just die for nothing. After all, children are going back to school next week. Why am I going to? As you're complaining, just die. You complain.
Is it angels? You see, and so if I don't bless him now, you say all the prayer I prayed on Sunday, he has just canceled every single one. He's in the office. There's no look. I told you, your job as a believer is to worship. So when you get there, it's not as if everything is okay. Nothing works in this country. We know, for now. By the way, things work in this country. Things work very well. Don't let anybody deceive you. And things are working better than they ever worked before. Don't let anybody fool you, all right? But whether they work or not, you will get them the money and bless the day. Are you getting my point? At the end of the day, you give God thanks for the day. When you meet good clients, you give God thanks. When you meet bad clients, listen, for you, it's what? It's worship. Are you getting what I'm saying? We'll discuss these things later. Is the offering up? I said that's the job of the believer. You constantly offer up correct sacrifices. One of them, thanksgiving, worship, praise. I told you the reason. Look, you must always have a part of. I don't have the time now, all right? But go and listen to my series when I talk about how to give to God. When I'm talking about your money and all of that, giving is part of offering up of spiritual sacrifices. Listen to me. I don't mean investing. There's a world of difference between giving and investing. You know what I mean by investing? God, I have given you 2,000 naira. And the Bible says you never owe any man. Therefore, you shall multiply that which I have sown quickly and bring it. That's not giving. That's not worship. That's investment. I can't guarantee that you yield good returns. I can't. The giving that is worship, are you getting what I'm saying? Is the one that is done deliberately. Because number one, you understand that you are an avenue. You are a channel, that's a better word. You are a channel of God's blessings on the earth. You understand that God ministers seed for the sower and bread for food. That is, in everything that God gives you, he didn't give you money to eat alone. Giving is a matter of faithfulness. That's what it is. And that's how a true believer handles it. It's not an investment. And that's why I will never, ever motivate anybody to give, promising any reward. What I will tell you is that the money is not your own. It belongs to all of us. Some people have been eating my money. I will collect it back one day. Don't worry. You will pay me back one day. He said, where's the money? I don't know who. There are monies you use to buy sugar. Say, that was broadcast money. What's wrong with you? That's why a thief collected it after 2 days. You go and buy phone with money that they said you should use to help your neighbor who's about to pay for WASC. Don't worry. A thief will wait the following day. Hey, you come. Give me that phone. You will have given him before he realized he doesn't have gun. He doesn't have knife. He doesn't have anything. He just shouted on you, collected it. And disappeared. Why? Because the money was not your own. I don't know whether you're following what I'm saying. Listen, as you grow spiritually, God will let you know which money is yours and which is not yours. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. I'm not talking about how to give today, but if you go and listen to our series, Your Money, I discuss it in details there. Faithfulness financially is part of worship. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you see, Paul explained something. When people gave, sent him money in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have received it. He described it as a sacrifice acceptable to God. A sweet-smelling savour. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't have time to go into all of this because though I have a number of the scriptures written down. All right? The right use of your gifts, the right use of your body physically, all right, is part of worship. And we're not discussing that one in details. But if you read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, you find those things there. I wanted to explain it before, but I'm trying to finish this thing today. So let me just summarize everything I'm saying so far. The constant worship of God, there are different aspects to it in your life. It's not only the one you wave your hands on Sunday and sing a slow song. That's an introduction to worship for the week. Are you getting my point? The words you heard on Sunday, that stirred you up to thanksgiving, recall them to mind on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, and Saturday. Recall those words to mind and use them to constantly, all right, give the Lord thanks. That's part of worship. Let me say it again before I leave it. The call in the life of the believer is to constantly worship. And believe me, there is nobody that will do that at all times that God will not anoint with his blessings. I'll discuss acceptable sacrifices another time. Let me just leave that one here. And I said two other things. I began talking about prophesying just now when we read those scriptures. It's an important spiritual activity. In fact, I believe, all right, that the reason why God changed the name of Abraham was so as to teach his tongue to constantly prophesy. Listen, don't let... some people say that you don't need to change your name. Well, I don't want to get into arguments. But I will hate for people to be prophesying nonsense on my head every time they call me. What's her name? The mother of Jacob's wife. What's her name? Rachel. When Rachel called her son Benoni, which has one negative meaning, the father refused and called him, I think, Benjamin. You can call him son of your sorrow. He's not the son of my sorrow. I believe, this is my persuasion, though the Bible didn't give us details. He said there was one man, his name was Jabez. And then he prayed and God answered his prayer. This is my conviction. After that his name stopped being Jabez. How do I know? Read through the story of the scriptures. When God will meet a man, what's your name? Jacob. Let me give you a nickname. Israel. What's your name? Simon. Let me give you a nickname. Peter. That's how God used to do it. You read through the scriptures. He used to give people names that reflected where he wanted them to go. Are you getting my point? Don't let somebody be prophesying evil every time they call your name. Mr. Son of an idol. And that's your name. And you're a believer. No, me, people say it doesn't matter. Well, that's your problem. For me, I just don't like it. How can my wife enter and say, who's that? That's Mrs. Chukwubike. How will I feel? My wife enters and they say, it's Mrs. Chukwubike. Chukwubike won't even collapse under the anointing. Are you getting what I'm saying? To me, it's not right. No, that's my persuasion. It's not right. It's not right. That's just my own. It's my persuasion. The name I bear now was not the one I used to bear. I just said, Abba, how can I be declaring the gospel of Christ and be bearing the name of a God who I don't know, who I don't serve? They say, let us welcome to the microphone. Reverend Ogun has opened the way. Are you in account? You can kind of crap. Oh, there's a testimony. We have a testimony this morning. Who's it? Brother, servant of the local idol, is coming to give us a testimony. You know those kind of rubbish names we bear. You know that. People say it doesn't matter. I don't know. Maybe for them it doesn't. But me, I can't take it. I cannot understand why they say this is Pastor Banky, and they look at his wife and say she's Mrs. Somebody else. Jesus asked. He said, "This coin, whose image and whose inscription do we have on this coin?" They say it belongs to Caesar. And he said, that means the coin belongs to Caesar. You are using Caesar's monetary system. You got to pay him taxes. Are you getting the point? That's my own. Therefore, whose inscription, who do I reflect when you call my name? I'm talking about Abraham's name. The reason why God gave him a name, I believe, was so that constantly serious prophecies have been uttered in his hearing. It's a spiritual exercise. What you say about yourself. I'm sure none of you, listen, you know, there are things I don't say accidentally. I have never said anything in your hearing negative about myself. Have you ever heard it? Don't worry, I know you have never heard it because I don't do it. I told you my 10th wedding anniversary this year. All right, in a few weeks. And I'm inviting all of you to come to my house so that we might eat an offering together. You know, I've told you that before. That's part of offering. It's offering. I told you. Any money I spend there is an offering unto the Lord. If you don't come, you're my personal enemy. All right? So I'm telling you now. I'll go and take a photograph and film everybody's faces. So anybody who I invited who didn't come. I know those who are not wishing me very well. All right? Unless you explain to me. Ah, please. My sister is waiting that very day and I will travel here. Otherwise, you must be there. Now, I've married my wife for 10 full years and I knew her for about 18 months before that time. All right? And listen, she has never heard me say anything negative about myself. I'm telling you, go ahead, look, although she won't tell you I'm lying anyway, so there's no point in me telling you to go and ask her. But the fact is that she has, take my children as an example. If my child behaves the exact opposite of what I want him to be, he still won't be able to persuade me to call him that name. There are things you don't hear. You, this foolish boy in my house, you call my son foolish, you won't enter that house again. This stupid boy, you are very, very dumb. I'm creating intelligence in those children with my words. I don't care how you behave, that one doesn't concern me. If you like, break my windscreen today. After that, smash my computer. You are still a child of God. You are anointed. You are going far in life. As I'm beating you, I'm telling you. I'm flogging you and explaining to you, you are not a child of the devil. Therefore, you can't behave like that. You are a son of God. You are a great man. It's your bum that's getting the cane with the prophecy following it. I'm injecting the anointing with the cane. I can shout, I can get angry. But to say it no go better for you. God will put me out of ministry that day. And the only reason why I won't kill me is because of mercy for my wife. There are things I don't say. No, oh gosh. I can't. And listen to me. That's not the way you... I grew up normally for your information. I learned this new culture. There's a book I'm writing. I just have a bit of framework entitled The Christian Culture. There are cultures of Christianity. How we greet people. There's a culture. This one I hear, good morning. I believe it was born out of a heritage of Christianity. If you look at the Jews, all right, descendants of Abraham, all of them, the way they greet themselves, all right, is shalom. That's peace be unto you. You know, Jesus commanded, when you get to a house, this is how you greet. How you know a day is not a good greeting. In fact, today I repent of it. I won't greet anybody again. How are you? It's prophecy now. It is well with you. That's a better one. Most people I greet this, but that's how I conclude my greeting. We're talking, it's well with you. That's it. I'm a minister. In fact, especially if somebody who I'm preaching the word of God to calls me, the answer is, it is well with you. That's Christian culture. The Jews had it. Shalom. Shalom is peace. Peace be unto you. All right? In fact, you know, it's the same thing. You had a Muslim greet. Salam alaikum. Yes. It's peace be unto this home. That's a heritage of Abraham. You learn those things. No, really. That's how godly people behave. You know, you watch the film as a young boy and you thought those were cool guys. They are guys who greet themselves with insults. Foolish man, how you did today now? Oh boy, you be idiot too. And your friend, they greet. And you thought it was hype, you know, like, you know, it's part of, you know, when guys, hey, yeah, guy, how you day? They call me, yeah, guy, I blow you, yeah, your face. Don't call, yeah, wait. I like the way my friends and I greet each other. Man of God, how now? Man of God, that's a better greeting. Man of God. One of my friends for years have been calling each other great apostle and great prophet. He's not preaching, but when I greet, hey, great apostle. It's a good greeting. I've seen people, it's ignorance. I'm correcting it today. You see your friend say, now, boy, you decrease for head, though. We didn't know it was bad. At least now we are learning. And it's your friend. Oh boy, don't begin crazy. And he's not his greeting. Listen, your name is not Basket Mouth. You are not Idris Abdul Karim. Are you getting my point? Though some of those people make their living from propagating the gospel of Satan.